Intergalactic planetary, planetary, intergalactic, intergalactic, planetary, planetary, intergalactic.
There, intergalactic travelers, it is I, Primetime, that is your captain of the Absolution, and this is another episode of the Intergalactic Graphic Review, 6 months later. Why 6 months?
Because
it only takes us half the time of DC to get back in line.
I use that time effectively to cultivate my NPR voice. My name is Wifflebottom. Hello, everybody.
Also known as Edwin from the Closet.
It's a pleasure to see you all.
So, it's been 6 months. How you been, buddy?
I've been things.
He's been some things. He was originally the new Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel. Or new Miss Marvel, I should say.
It was a weird week.
Yeah.
I got assaulted by a young Pakistani girl.
And you don't know why.
Oh no, I know why. I'm just not telling it to you.
But yeah, it's been 6 months. Yeah, that's partially my fault because I have this thing called college now. And not all my classes were fun, you know. Because when you purposely take gendering the Harlem Renaissance, you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
And if there's anything you know learn from today's episode, I should say, anything you should know and learn, I should say, don't take gendering the Harlem Renaissance. So, and now you know, because knowing's half the battle.
I think the other people at home want to know, how was your time spent being a fraternity butt boy? It's really quite important to our listeners.
They couldn't find a spheric object big enough.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Now with questions about my butthole gone.
I swear I'm not actually going to keep that up the entire episode. You don't have to worry.
How's your 6 months been? Besides mine of, the SSI hell and college.
The Flash happened. Supergirl happened. What else is premiering soon? Oh, Legends of Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, which has been good. Arrow's happened.
Arrow did happen. It happened all over my shoes.
Aww.
Actually, I just don't watch it because that's my meeting night. But, you know, it's weird. It's... When did DC move to TV... And Warner Brothers move into the comic books, and angry nerd fan fiction move into the movies.
It was a Wednesday, you missed the meeting.
Mm.
Yeah. No, that's a good segue, because I think one of the things we wanted to talk about today was DC's domination of television, because you have Supergirl, you have Gotham, you have Flash, you have Arrow, you have Legends of Tomorrow.
But really, we're going to cover the good ones. Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. DC owns 4 days of the week. I'm comfortable with that.
What, you're not going to give any love for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter?
You know what? I unfortunately have not had a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agent Carter. much. I mean, I watched halfway through season one, and it's not nothing to knock the quality. It's just I don't have that kind of time. And I preferred Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it first started, when it was sort of this kooky family team and their adventures through the background of the Marvel Universe. And then it became what the fans wanted it to be, and it's not what I came in with. So I
understand that, but I find it funny. They do what the fans want, and that pisses you off.
It doesn't piss me off. It's just like, oh, okay, this is okay, but I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I miss when it was like Coulson was the dad and May was the mom, and we had, you know, Simmons and Fitz and Sky and Brad Douchebag as all their kids. Which got really weird when May started sleeping with Grant, but that's neither here nor there. Or is it here and there?
By the way, spoilers. Let's just put this out here right now. Spoilers. If you haven't watched any stuff...
If you haven't watched a show that was 2 years ago, tough.
Shame on you.
That was tough. That was 2 years ago.
Well, I'm just going to say this now for Supergirl or for Arrow or for Flash or that stuff. If you haven't seen, like, the first couple episodes or whatever, we're sorry. Spoilers. We can't help ourselves. We have to spill continuity all over ourselves.
Yep. Like the fact that, you know, the Martian Manhunter has finally fulfilled the destiny everybody knew he was going to. He finally became a big black guy.
Well, actually, you know, that's a good segue, because I figured, let's talk about the show that we're probably going to cause the most controversy about talking about, that's Supergirl.
What controversy? It's good. I like it. You should watch it.
I do watch it, and I like it,
I was talking to our audience.
Oh, okay. I like it, too, but I also have issues with it.
It's a CBS TV show covered in mildly uncomfortable third-wave feminism at times, but you know what? It's still Supergirl. She's still a Superman character acting like a Superman character.
Wow, you accurately described exactly what my issue with the show was. Wow.
The fact that it's periodically, like, really weirdly girl power in ways that are totally disingenuous.
Yeah. Like, you know, why not call her Superwoman or Superperson? Because I want to scream at the television, like, because the title of the show is Supergirl!
Yeah, but I can understand if you are a grown woman, you don't want to be called girl.
What? I would have no problem be calling Superboy.
Yeah, Superboy is 16. She's a mid-20s woman. It is what it is. That's a mildly organic issue to bring up. And then Cat Grant does a good job of going, yeah, no, I'm calling her what I want. And sit down, I named her.
Yeah, look, by the way, the actress who's playing Cat Grant is playing her wonderfully. My issue is the way it just seems as if some people sort of idolize the Cat Grant character.
Yeah, because
as a good role model, it's like she's being an asshole. Why are we supposed to like this character?
Okay, we have people that want to vote for certain politicians with. A lot of politicians show sociopathic tendencies, such as...
Let's call it what it is. There's a lot of people that want to vote for Donald Trump.
See, I wanted to make this a bit more timeless. But people do want push for aggression and domination, and they like that sort of... that kind of bad boy, I don't care what other people feel behavior, because it shows confidence. And Cat Grant, if nothing else, oozes confidence.
I'll give you that. She oozes confidence. She's still an asshole, and I'm like...
Her name is Cat Grant. She was a gossip columnist. She's catty as heck.
Oh, I get that. I have no problem. I just have a problem with people thinking that Kara should... look at her as some type of role model, or for her being a role model for women in, again, that whole third wing feminism, which you accurately called, and I don't want to make this into what's bad third wing feminism, because it's a minor issue for me, and it's not, you know, it's not ruining for it, it's just...
I think, but we can both agree that for all of her flaws, and everybody on the show is flawed, Cat Grant is delightful to watch.
Oh, if you, because I just like, okay, I'm going to ignore all that, and if I just watch her as, she's, you know what she is? She's the female version of J.J. Jameson.
She's a weird mix of J.J. and Perry. There's some Perry White in there.
There's some, but to me, I see mostly J.J.
Well,
in that, in the fact that she's fun to watch at
being
how
caustic
of an asshole she can be.
Or we could put it that way.
Hey, I call JJ an asshole. He's a delightful asshole, but he's an asshole.
See, I was going to say being caustic and abrasive.
But when have we ever been classy?
We can try. But, okay. But, you know.
Okay, I will try.
I especially like those moments where you peel back that outer layer of her being shallow and catty, and there's really a great person underneath. Like, even in the past few episodes when she's like, you know, they do the whole, oh, I know you're Superman, or I know you're Supergirl. It's like, every moment you are out here, you are not helping people, and I cannot abet that. I'm like, oh my god! I don't care if this is emotional blackmail. That is one of the best reasons somebody has ever fired a superhero.
I actually missed the past couple episodes. But that being said, I love a lot of things. I'll get to the fight scenes later because it's a CBS show. But no, I love... is it Argus that she's with?
Which one?
The one that her sisters or
is that like the Department of Metahuman Affairs or whatever it is?
Thank you. Was either that Argus or maybe I'm thinking of something else. But yeah, the Department of Superhuman Affairs. I know there was a lot of talk. I know that you know the guy in charge turns out to be Martian Manhunter. I remember there were a lot of people talking because of what his name was. Of him possibly turning into Cyborg Superman?
It would have fit the more recent Supergirl comics.
Yeah. Well, but again, that's the name he was using. That's who turned out to be Cyborg Superman originally in the 90s.
Yeah, that is one of the things. Like, Hank Henshaw. Where is this going?
And then this is another thing I love. Like, they are hitting, like, those comic book references that just make you feel all good inside. I've liked, I apologize, I don't remember actors' names, but the guy who's playing, Jimmy.
You mean Keith White?
Yep. I never had a problem with a black man being Jimmy.
You know what I have a problem with? They have a character who can do that. They have a character in Superman who can fill that role, and isn't Superman's dorky sidekick. His name is Keith White. He was adopted by Perry White. He has a relationship with Superman. He isn't the guy who got turned into Turtle Boy and Elastic Lad.
And he's African-American?
Yes, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm now remembering the character. That's right.
My thing with Jimmy will always be, Jimmy is God's chew toy. This Jimmy has not been turned into some kind of weird creature or fallen down an elevator shaft and got tangled in the wires or slipped and somehow got covered in colored meteorites or, you know, things that happen to Jimmy Olsen.
No.
These things haven't happened to him. And yeah, some people...
No, they've happened to the other sidekick character.
Yes. That guy is Jimmy Olsen.
Yes.
And yes, you could say it's something like, well, Jimmy grew up, now he's the seasoned reporter, so he can be confident and intrepid, and this guy can pick up the mantle. But that's weird to me.
Well, let's just say what it is. It's like, the fact is that Jimmy was a more well-known character, and that's why they did it.
Yeah.
Even though if they wanted somebody who was African-American, they could have taken another character who was African-American, but they instead took Jimmy because, you know...
See, it's
and not that they...
It's not even the Jimmy... It's not the fact that he's African-American that I want you to focus on. It's the fact that he's cool.
Oh, okay. Well, just to finish my thought, by the way, is not that I'm sitting there saying that they had the actor before, you know... Then they went to choose Jimmy. It was more that they wanted to do Jimmy, and they decided to put an African-American in that role, which is a great thing. As long as he earned it, which I'm sure he did, because there's this really difficult discussion to talk about because of the whole Oscar thing.
Stop.
What?
We've hit the coffins. You have to stop digging.
You're saying I can't dig myself out of the hole?
No.
Okay.
Because you're talking, and I think we're making it worse.
Of course we're making it worse, because if we don't immediately sit there and say he's absolutely awesome and there's no problem
here. No, we don't. That's not the thing. I just gave valid criticism for why this Jimmy is weird.
And you were right. You did a whole lot better than I could.
Yes. And it's not so much that you made your point, but then you tried to kind of explain it away. And once you start explaining it away, it starts looking awkward.
Because the politics pisses me off, that's why.
Then say what you want and damn the politics.
I'll say it, because it's right here on my new Bray Wyatt shirt. Down with the fucking machine.
Okay.
I'm done.
It's like you are referencing something I have no place in.
I'm wearing a wrestling t-shirt. There's a character named Bray Wyatt who's like this southern Baptist preacher, backwoods
libertarian
guy, monster, like he's straight out of a horror, like from out of like Wrong Turn or something like that. And oh god, he's a great wrestler, great heel, and very creepy. And his whole thing is he's against the, you know, the machine, against, you know, I'm Bray Wyatt, I'm the new face of fear. If you're a wrestling fan, you know who I'm talking about.
And if you're not a wrestling fan, you can join me in looking really concerned.
Let's go to other things we like. I like Kara's sister.
That's a great addition to the Supergirl supporting cast.
It is. It was great.
One of the mistakes I think DC has made that Supergirl understands is that when you have a character who is essentially invulnerable, able to do all these things, the audience hinges on is your supporting cast.
Absolutely.
Because nobody's going to buy the drama of, will Supergirl make it out of this? Well, yes, she's going to. Just like the Flash is always going to win, just like, okay, nobody knows what's going to happen on Green Arrow. you know. But when you have characters who are inherently optimistic and good and superpowered, the chances of them winning, unless they're dealing with somebody like Zoom or Zod or... Kara's crazy aunt, well, not crazy, but well-intentioned, either way, is what's going to happen to her friends? What's going to happen to the human characters as they get involved in all of this convoluted stuff in the background?
Yeah.
And her sister fills that role perfectly because it is a platonic relationship.
The entire Danvers family fills that role, which, by the way, fucking Dean Cain.
Bless his beautiful conservative heart.
Oh, it's like
Dean Cain's guest starred on Supergirl and became the spirit of Christmas.
uh, Because, of course, we love him. Because he's Superman. Or was Superman.
And because he's just so gosh darn likable. I mean, he's the kind of likable where you say the words gosh darn likable when describing him.
You're right. I don't want to make it seem as if the only reason I like him is because he was formerly Superman. Dean Cain is a great actor. He's had some great roles, especially on some made-for-TV movies.
I wouldn't know about that. I just look at that charming smile and I kind of go, hey there.
And he does this role perfectly, so.
It's true.
Yep. I guess the last thing to talk about, which to sort of end on a downer, is the fights. And how unimpressive they are.
I put it this way. It's not Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. This show has a special effects budget.
Yeah, well, all the special effects in the world mean nothing when you have Supergirl fighting, I can't remember which, but it was one of the big, burly monsters on the highway, and you can see in the background by this gas tanker, just guys leaning up against the wall like nothing's happening.
And again, I point to, it's not Charmed. You know, where they would hold their arms up and do, I'm doing Kung Fu! And I'm like,
okay,
oh
but
God,
I'm
sorry. Obscurus Lupo was right about you.
I'm not saying it's the worst thing ever, but can we just give criticism where criticism is due? It's not destroying the show, but it is something I wish the action and the action scenes were directed better.
Yeah, I could see that. You know,
because
New drinking game. If I say, you know, take a shot. After you get out of the hospital, you're allowed to punch me in the nuts. But trying to make my point, I think Supergirl focusing on fights might be a mistake.
I don't want to focus on fights, but I want to feel like it's not in slow motion.
Yes. Well, if they...
Like The Flash or Arrow.
If they do it like it's in slow motion, it might help. But with a mistake they make with wire shows present it in slow motion so the special effects look cheaper. If she's going to be flying around and doing things like that, you want to actually speed up those shots of her moving or her flying. To make it feel more kinetic.
Exactly. And I understand that the counter argument to this is that, well, she's not a fighter. She doesn't know how to fight. I understand that. But it's not so much that she's fighting in slow motion. It's that the entire scenes feel like the actors are going through it in slow motion. When it's not in slow motion.
But that's why I said that I don't think that fights should be where the show goes. The focus should be on the things Superman is good for.
You mean Supergirl?
Superman and Supergirl, actually. Rescues. Superman is, in his heart, the pull a kitten out of a tree guy. You know how the Rogues are the rob a bank guys?
Yes.
Superman is the get a little girl's kitten out of a tree. Or stop an elevator from falling, or catch an airplane. We have two shows in the WB TV roster, actually more, three shows, essentially about fighting. Supergirl would probably be best dealing more with mysteries and risks. Maybe not even mysteries, but rescues.
Well, I'll leave it at this. I think that they can make the fights, the action scenes and the fights better. And not be detrimental to the episode as a whole. I'm just saying. Like, to an extent, the Livewire final fight I thought was really good. Still had some issues, but probably one of the better ones of the series so far. But regardless, I think we can both agree we do like Supergirl. It is being done really well.
I can say that. I've been enjoying it since its premiere.
And I want people to understand, I do have my issues, and a lot of it is with the political bullshit, and I'll leave it at that. But I do really like the show, and I have enjoyed it. I think they've done a lot of good things. They've nailed Supergirl. In fact, if you want to hear more about Supergirl, there's a new Supergirl podcast on the Superman Network, which you should check out. I actually haven't got a chance to listen to it, but I know... What?
No, that's the sound of you filleting the Superman Podcast Network.
Well, it features one of our good friends, Michael Bailey, so why not? We know it. We know him being on it means it can be a trusted network.
Yeah, but I have to make fun of your horn.
I like the... Well, God, I'm not going to call it that word because in reference to talking about Supergirl, that might seem insensitive and... Me, insensitive, when has that ever happened?
Tuesday.
Fuck you.
Ratted
me out. But no, it's not whoring myself out. It's called commercialized networking.
They have commercials. They have their own commercials. We can put that out there. This isn't a 1950s soap opera. We don't actually have to pull out the bottle of Brill Cream and talk about how awesome it is.
Well, I don't have them right now, so just go with it.
Interesting you said that this was a good vision of Supergirl. This is a very good image of a very specific Supergirl. This is pre-crisis Supergirl.
Yeah.
Because since the pre-crisis, or since Crisis on Infinite Earths, they haven't really had any idea what to do with her. Well, they had May.
Well, I think they had good Supergirls. I just think a lot of people didn't give it a chance. Like, there was the Matrix Supergirl, which was pretty fun if you've read those issues.
Oh, no, I like Matrix Supergirl. And I amended that she was good. Now, the post-crisis Kara of Krypton...
I enjoyed that Supergirl series. I'll get to that in a second. Then you had Carol Danvers by Peter David and his Supergirl series, which is fun, and not a lot of people give that series credit.
Isn't Carol Danvers Captain Marvel?
Linda Danvers, excuse me.
Okay.
I didn't say Carol, I meant Linda. I apologize. Linda Danvers. I think I'm getting it.
We're
Peter David in the Supergirl series in 98. Linda Danvers. Or Davis. I'm blanking on it. And right now, there's a lot of Superman fans yelling at me right now. Because I can't remember. God damn it. Take a shot.
This assumes there are Superman fans listening to this show. This assumes we have listeners.
We have to have some. One of the 38 people that clicked the link have to like listen to at least the first 5 minutes.
I guess so. I mean, that first 5 minutes is all theme song, but still.
Anyways, that being said, there's that. And then, of course, the Kara, which she came to Earth in the Superman-Batman series, which I like those six issues. I like that movie, by the way. And I have a lot of the Supergirl series, and I enjoy it for the most part. I think it's good. I'm not going to say really good, because really, at this point, it's an overused statement, let's be honest. But I think it is a good series. I enjoy it.
It was painful for me.
Let's call it what it is. She's an anime version of Supergirl.
Like, how can we make Kara look like she has self-esteem issues and anger problems this month? Oh no, she's going to high school. Actually, the high school issue was one I liked because it played with the alpha bitch trope, as they say.
Well, they didn't really have her go to Supergirl.
No.
I mean, not Supergirl. They really didn't have her go to high school.
No, they
I'm
did
sorry.
For an issue. She went to high school for one issue. It was a spectacular failure.
I may have missed that issue, but I do know that they've had a lot of good, like, her interactions with Power Girl, I really enjoy.
Kara, meet Busty Kara, the person you'll never become.
Really, you had to put it like that.
Yeah, because you know what? That's the first thing people notice about Power Girl.
Yeah, and those people aren't fans of Power Girl.
No, those people are fans of Power Girl. It's the first thing you notice. It may not be... It stops being the only thing you notice, but it's the first thing you notice.
I can't argue with you on that.
Yeah.
I can't. I want to, because there's so much to Power Girl that's more than just the... What do they call it again?
Her personal logo?
Yeah.
The boob window?
The boob window, thank you. People like to call it the boob. And I hate that term, because, yes, I understand it there, and I think it is important to her character, because it's been there forever, and it is a part of her characterization, as far as...
I don't know, it's part of her...
Important feminism she comes from, and the type of character she presents herself, it is embedded into her character. That being said... Again, and we've talked about this on past episodes, where in the recent Earth 2, where she was given the S-Shield by her cousin, I thought that fit very well.
Yes.
So even though it's not there anymore, the way they got to that point I felt was organic, but at the same time, I never had a problem with the boob window, and it's not because I like seeing cleavage, because, ladies and gentlemen, if I need to buy a comic for cleavage, then I obviously haven't discovered the internet.
Yeah, but this is the comic fandom. It helps.
They like to bitch about everything. Yes, I know. Because heaven forbid anybody be happy.
Well, the superheroes can't be.
And then I was enjoying Supergirl in the New 52, to be quite honest with you, to end this discussion like all the Supergirls here. So I personally enjoyed them. I guess your mileage may vary.
I probably would have enjoyed the Supergirl from the New 52 if she wasn't wearing a diaper.
You said it, I didn't. Let's speak about somebody who isn't wearing a diaper, who's awesome. That's The Flash. That's Tuesday nights.
I love you, Bartholomew Allen. I meant the one from now, not the one that's going to be coming in future seasons, I'm sure, from the 30th century. Who somehow exists despite causality problems, and oh, I've gone cross-eyed.
No, I'm just going to enjoy, I actually have to go and watch, I do believe I have to watch this past week's episode. I think this past week episode is supposed to be, it's either building up to, or it happens where it's the return of Jay Garrick.
No, it's not.
No, it didn't happen?
No, spoilers. Barry loses like 2% of his power or something like that, and they decide to go to Earth 2, and...
Well, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So maybe it's next episode, because I know there's an episode coming up where Jay Garrick has to take over the role as the Flash.
Yeah. As Elizabeth Snow dies, Cisco gets arrested, it's all very upsetting.
As I would imagine so. But I, outside of the episode that I haven't seen yet, I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed the characters, the supporting cast. I mean, goddammit, Cisco's vibe.
Until he put... Well, no, wait. He has the sunglasses.
Yes, he
does.
He
has the weird sunglasses. He is totally vibe.
The not this past week, but the episode before... they built them.
Yes.
And it's awesome.
It is awesome. If he could shoot the vibrations, we'd be golden. He would be an awful 1980s comic book character. And that would
and
be
it would
amazing.
Be awesome. And amazing.
Yes.
But by far, my favorite episode, by far, is the recent Christmas episode.
I am blinking on the Christmas episode. For some reason.
That's the one where the weather wizard breaks out Captain Cold and the trickster out of jail.
Oh, yeah,
to kill
the season finale.
The Flash. Because fucking Mark Hamill.
Gentlemen, I've gathered you for one simple reason. To kill the Flash.
Captain Cold is not interested.
Like, no.
And then does a courtesy call to Barry. He's like, I'm giving you a favor. But one of my favorite parts is where Flash is in the warehouse with... Oh God, I'm blanking on her name.
Hot Pursuit.
The detective.
Yeah. Hop. That's what she's going to be, I'm pretty sure.
She's going to turn into that character, Hot Pursuit?
I think that's who her character is in the comics.
Either way, they're in it, and all of a sudden you hear Mark Hamill singing, I had a little treadle, I made it out of clay. In the joke, it's like, I'm in heaven right now. I mean, I don't take much pride, I don't really care if, like, Jewish stuff is in, like, holiday episodes or not, but this is putting me in my happy place right now.
He's still waiting for the Ragman Chris holiday special.
Mark Hamill was just wonderful in that episode. And just, like, everything leading up to Zoom, I think, has been great.
Zoom's mouth thing still weirds me out.
But...
I keep going back to that scene in The Matrix where they take Neo's mouth away.
I'm very interested to see what ultimately happens with Gorilla Grodd now that he's in the kingdom of the gorillas.
He's in Ape City! He's gonna take...
Isn't it awesome?
Oh my God! Gorilla Grodd's in Ape City! Come on. I'm just waiting for him to come in, start talking. And
that's what we're all waiting for.
With like
yes.
Some kind of a weird helmet and a gun that turns people into goop. Because series is very, very quickly veering into the Silver Age. And
it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Earth 2 is the Silver Age, or is it, no? It's the Golden Age. It looks like the gold. It looks like the 50s or the 30s.
Or what the 50s would be in the future.
Yes. And that's wonderful.
And then, of course, you can't forget, you know, the Flash Arrow crossover.
Or that time Barry and Ollie made sweet, sweet love all over our TV.
Oh, God. Everybody's making me sneeze. When you say it like that.
Yeah. My gay fan fiction, he's allergic to it. It's sad.
It's not the gay part, it's the fan fiction part.
Yeah.
But, goddamn, that was a good episode. And just the fact that how it was a build-up for a show we'll be talking about in a little bit, the League of Legends.
League of Legends is a video game. Legends of Tomorrow is a show.
Legends of Tomorrow... I can't remember shit tonight.
Stop drinking vermouth.
We need to start building notes for these shows. Like, that's going to help.
Yeah.
But no, the crossover. And speaking of crossover, Arrow. My God, I've been enjoying Arrow. I mean, just the whole thing. You have Black Canary. You have Laura as Black Canary now. Red Arrow, of course, being Ollie's sister, Arrow, Guardian.
Is he Guardian?
That's what people have been calling, I think that's what his name is, I'm not sure, actually. But that's what people jokingly have been calling him with that helmet, that he's Guardian.
Yeah, except he doesn't have a shield and he's not a clone.
Give it time.
Okay, I shall do so. And of course... The greatest hacker in the world, Elizabeth Smoke.
What was the nickname they gave her? The other episode?
I don't know. I just know she's hot.
And there was a joke to where, like, it's like they gave her a new nickname. It's like Ollie's like walking down a hallway with Allura and Speedy.
We'll go with Speedy. Oh, Mia Dearden?
Yeah. Because I can't remember anybody's name, apparently. But walking down, and of course they're in their superhero outfits, and he's like, I was going to go with Oracle, but it was taken already.
Nice.
That's like, God damn it, you tease us that basically Oracle, you give her a different name and then you make that joke. Bravo. Bravo.
She's not going to die this season, right?
Well, if that flash or that flash to the future that we see at the couple episodes ago at the start of the second half of this past season was any indication, apparently she is going to still be alive.
Great.
Somebody else is going to die, though.
Hmm.
And it's going to make Smoke, Miss Smoke, want revenge.
Hmm. On so, Firestorm. Three people get why that's funny.
Yeah. And two of them are here.
It's true.
And by the way, you just love her because of her goth girl outfit, didn't you?
No, I thought she was hot in the episode she did in The Flash, which is really the only times I've seen her, where she wore that dress, and I was like, how about that? Because I'm a 14-year-old boy at heart. But when I say at heart, I mean pretty much all the time.
And then Legends of Tomorrow, my God. I love the series.
Otherwise known as the Super Buddies.
Led by Doctor Who.
It's really... No, not Doctor Who. Rory. He's still Rory. It's weird.
He's Wave Rider.
No, his ship is the Wave Rider.
But just all of the goddamn references to, like, the Wave... To the time, please, and Wave Rider, and I'm like, I see what you did.
That's every one of these shows, is you're sitting there going, I see what you did there.
I just want to call it, let's call it what it is. It's Zero Hour, the TV series.
I wouldn't put it on par with Zero Hour. I'm liking it, but I'm not going to say it's awesome yet.
Oh, it's going to get there. I'm sure it's going to get there.
Yeah, I mean, Hawkman and Hawkwoman just buried their son 20 years before they were born. This show's just starting weird.
Well, it's the whole... Again, it's the line that Roy says at the beginning, or at the end of that episode, where he's like, time has a funny way of doing what it wants to do. Or he says something along those lines.
Yeah, and then you had the one guy show up. Are you important to the timeline? No. I'm pretty sure that's not how that works.
Yeah. By the way, this is the start of the first episode where Vandal Savage basically comes up to Rory's kid and is like, you know, or says his stuff, and the kid just like spits in his face like, I like this kid. I know he's about to die, but I really like this kid, and it's going to make me really sad when he kills him in a second.
He actually takes after his great-grandpa, Booster. I swear this show needs Booster.
That's all it needs is Booster Gold. That's all it fucking needs.
Just imagine, like, mid-season finale. Michael shows up. Hi, everybody. Wink and smile. Who are you? I'm Wink and Smile. Booster Gold.
Who are you? I'm DC's bad version of Deadpool.
No, Booster Gold is not Deadpool. That's Harley. No. Gold.
She does now break the fourth wall.
Yeah. Booster Gold is what people think Superman acts like. He's Gilderoy Lockhart in comic book form. At least that's the public image he somehow projects. And I loved when he started doing that on purpose. Like, you know how Adam acts on Arrow?
Yep.
Yeah. Take that, go just like one step beyond, and by one step beyond I mean dye his hair blonde, and you've got Booster Gold.
I see what you're doing. Yep.
It's like that jaunty, cheeky grin. Hello, everybody. Except unlike Ray Palmer, he doesn't actually believe that weirdness he's saying.
All I know is that I can't wait for Booster Gold to appear on, and I can't wait to watch more of Legends of Tomorrow because it's awesome. It just is.
Any show that has Captain Cold, Heat Wave, and Firestorm.
White Canary.
Is White Canary even in the comics?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
White Canary is actually a character from the comics.
So, yeah.
I just can't remember if it was Laura's sister, but...
Yeah, so you have a team full of superheroes and those two guys.
Yes. And they're trying to figure out, how do we stick a score out of this? And by the way, the actor who plays Captain Cole, he just exudes awesomeness.
Because he perfectly embodies the fact that, yeah, I'm not actually here to rule the world, I just want to rob a bank.
And it's awesome! It's like... Captain Cold, I think, used to be kind of looked at as a joke, but, like, he's really, like, making Captain Cold look really cool.
I think it was fun when they were a joke. Because you could get you could still get a great movie out of the Rogues as the worst supervillains ever. It's like, well, we're going to do a heist movie. And then, like, you guys are the worst supervillains ever. We're not supervillains. We're rogues. As they're just walking back to the RV they were driving around in.
So, but yeah, so that's DC's domination of TV.
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to play some promos where I do natural commercial networking. And when we come back, Edwin's going to have a couple of news items for us to talk about, and then we're going to probably do, hopefully, a short preview of this year's movie season. So we'll be right back. When you were languishing in rooms I burnt the fire you in. When the wind set down in funnel form and pulled you in.
Michael Bailey.
And I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And we host a podcast called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast.
Presented by the Superman homepage. On the show... Wait.
What?
This just isn't working out for me. It's not bombastic enough. We need something epic.
Like what?
Welcome to From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast, presented by the Superman homepage. I am Jeffrey Taylor.
And I am Michael Bailey.
From Crisis to Crisis chronicles the adventures of Superman.
Wait. I'm just not feeling this.
I'm just wondering how there's a needle scratching sound when all of this is clearly digital.
Look, all we need to say is that this is a trailer for a show called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast presented by the Superman homepage. My name is Michael Bailey.
I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And every week we give in-depth synopsis and reviews for just about every Superman book published between Man of Steel number 1 in 1986
and Adventures of Superman number 649 in 2006. We also talk about the related Superman media, what was happening in the rest of the world when these comics were published, and what else was going on in the DC Universe.
The show drops every Thursday-ish at the Superman homepage, which is located at www.supermanhomepage.com.
From Crisis to Crisis is also a proud member of the Superman Podcast Network, located at www.supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
So join Jeffrey and I each week as we explore Superman during the post-crisis era, which includes Exile, Panic in the Sky, Doomsday, The Marriage, and beyond.
And write into the show at FromCrisisToCrisis@gmail.com and hear it read on the air, eventually, because we get behind on that sort of thing.
Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Side effects from Crisis to Crisis include loss of money from buying back issues, a desire to read 20-year-old comic books, nausea, drowsiness, pizza, blurred vision, upset stomach, a desire to kick puppies and kittens, and backache from lifting boxes of Superman comics. If the excitement of From Crisis to Crisis lasts more than 4 hours, seek immediate medical attention.
Superman.
Captain Marvel.
Batman.
It is 1985.
Robin of Earth 2.
Sergeant Rock.
The Legion of Superheroes.
This is the most eagerly awaited comic book event in 50 years.
Tommy Tomorrow.
Jonah Hex.
Commandy.
It will one day be called the greatest comic book event of all time.
Swamp Thing.
Wonder Woman.
The New Teen Titans.
The Haunted Tank.
Infinity Incorporated.
Worlds will live.
Green Arrow.
Worlds will die.
Supergirl.
The Flash.
And that is only the beginning.
The Justice League of America.
The All-Star Squadron.
The Huntress.
Ariana.
The Metal Man.
Firestorm. The Nuclear Man.
The Outsiders.
Green Lantern.
The Blue Beetle.
The Crime Syndicate.
Warlord.
The Guardians of the Universe.
Tales of the Justice Society of America proudly presents...
And many, many more.
Crisis on Infinite Earths. The DC Universe will never be the same.
Coming January, only at twotruefreaks.com.
When the ghosts sleep, us, the violence chases everything. Gas runs out, just wreck it, and you insure the thing. I don't need to walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in. Don't need to walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in.
And welcome back, folks. I'm going to hand it over to Edwin.
Ooh, you should have run.
And he's gonna start off. So what's our first news item of the day? Well, not news item, but thing we're going to probably pitch about.
Well, the first thing I wanted to talk about was something that happened last week. And it was alluding to an article that DC had unceremoniously dumped in Entertainment Weekly. And what they were advertising with this article / masturbatory ad was the fact that DC, through Warner Brothers, is now producing Hanna-Barbera cartoon comics. And as
the problem with this is?
Well, as many of you probably grew up in the era of Cartoon Network, and by that I mean a childhood of Hanna-Barbera reruns. Some of the more famous things that we saw back then were things like Scooby-Doo, Wacky Races, Yogi Bear, Space Ghost, Johnny Quest. Now, take those memories.
Dark Planet. SWAT Cats.
No, they're doing SWAT Cats right. But now
they're making a new animated series.
Indeed. Thank you, Kickstarter. Thank you, Internet. Now take things like The Flintstones and Wacky Races and make them sad.
AKA, we're going to make them dark.
Well, The Flintstones doesn't look dark. It just looks way too real. Yeah, I'm looking at DC's The Flintstones and I am not feeling this.
When WWE does the Flintstones better than you, you have a problem. And I say that, and I like the WWE.
Yeah. At one point, Dan Didio says, of course it's Dan Didio, we don't want to just repeat what people saw in the past. It's really important for us to resonate with folks who have never even heard of the characters. I'm going to stop there. Those people don't exist. I mean, yeah, there might be some children who haven't heard of the Flintstones, but I can probably guarantee they're not reading comic books. And while the reboot of Archie, where they updated the art style, works, it's because it's still recognizably Archie.
Yeah, the problem wasn't Archie himself. The problem was some people didn't like the older art style, so they kind of just updated it a bit, which is fine. And there's not a problem with Flintstones. It's like, yeah, there are people that didn't grow up with the Flintstones. Yeah, so why not show them the reruns or do stories in that style so they know what the Flintstones were?
Yeah. They're talking about things like, well, we want to reflect on things that are today and how they came to be.
Because, yeah, today is so much better.
It's even,
and it is better in some places, but
it's more of the matter of the way they describe it, I'm afraid they're going to try to use the Flintstones for political satire. And
exactly.
That's bad.
Let's not even mention what they're going to do to the Way Out Wacky Races, which makes me kind of sad.
Oh, my God. So, let's touch on Wacky Raceland. Because that's what they're calling it. It's not Wacky Races. It's Wacky Raceland.
Basically, they're taking the Way Out Wacky Races and they're turning it into Death Race 2000.
Or Mad Max Fury Road.
Take your pick.
So let's take what amounts to Hanna-Barbera cashing in on some of their more popular and less popular franchises by having them race each other. Now, let's take that concept of slapstick racing, strip out the slapstick, and dial it up with darkness and grimness and cannibalism. Yeah.
Did they actually say there's going to be cannibalism?
Cannibalistic mutants. I think that's what I read. I think it was on Didio's blog or whatever, or something like that. Yeah, it's the fact...
That's the sound of my head hitting the wall, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I believe somebody described it as, now, they had the Wacky Races, but because of them and the whatever, the world is now a nuclear wasteland. And now they're racing to survive, trying to
see,
find...
That's why you don't give the mad scientist with the dog the nuclear bomb.
It's weird. It really is.
Yeah.
Now, this could be great. This could be great.
It could be.
On
and it
one
might
condition
be.
That I
and
have
we could
no
be
faith
wrong.
In...
We'll admit it that we're wrong if it is.
You will, I won't. It's on one condition I don't think DVC understands. For this to work, it needs to be a satire. This needs to be all one big joke.
And parody.
Yeah, and parody of these sorts of reboots.
Yeah, in that could work, because you're parodying Mad Max, you're parodying Death Race.
Yes, but this is DC as run by Dan Didio and Jim Lee. Two guys who still think it's 1994. They don't see the irony in why people think the 90s material is funny. They think people legitimately like pouches and scowling.
Well, we'll see. What's the next news item?
Well, next we have Scooby Apocalypse. Which, hey, remember all those times they tried to reboot Scooby-Doo where the ghosts were real? Yeah, remember how nobody liked those? Now,
yeah, they're
that.
Doing it again.
Yeah, they're doing that again. Except now everybody's a hipster and Velma's a child genius.
Next!
Next, we have the best thing ever. Fucking Future Quest. Like, just when you had lost hope in what they were doing, DC goes and says, hey, you know that thing everybody, nobody knew they wanted? Let's give it to them.
Is this Johnny Quest?
It's Johnny Quest meets Space Ghost, meets the motherfucking Herculoids, meets the Galaxy Trio, meets the Incredibles.
In Quest World?
I know, maybe. I came reading that lineup. It's every action character interacting.
It's every action character from Hanna-Barbera's what would become known as the Toonami roulette in one show.
I don't care one comic. If it doesn't make sense. I don't care that this should not be able to happen. This is great.
All they need is a kick-ass theme song that goes...
Stop.
What?
I mean, yes, the Johnny Quest theme song is good. Neither of us is a singer.
I'm not singing. I'm humming.
Okay. Everybody in the audience, tell him why he's wrong. Because I'm not going to.
Yes, please tell me why I'm wrong. I'm sure nobody will have a problem with that. I'm sure we're going to get tons of emails telling me why I'm wrong. Because, you know, we've gotten so many emails in the past.
Yeah, I'm surprised. That's because we don't have listeners, but that's beside the point. But we have Space Ghost's goofy crew from Space Ghost Coast to Coast as legitimate threats. And that's weird, because they look exactly the same.
Yeah, I have no problem with characters looking exactly the same. That just makes it more fun for me.
It does! But they still look like the goofy characters that nobody could take seriously on Space Ghost Coast to Coast. But in the proper context, which is weird and cool. And that should cover that article. And next, we're going to go over to other interesting news. So the solicits for Free Comic Book Day, May 2016, came out. And I don't care about most of them. My comic collecting has been reduced to whatever I can order at work. But one thing stuck out. One thing that should be awful, but I look at it and I'm pleased. And yes, Steve Rogers is going to be Captain America again, because people don't like change. Or black
people.
No,
because there's a new movie coming out where Steve Rogers is Captain America, so we need to have him be Captain America again.
True.
I mean, okay, I'm going to stop right here and see. I'm going to laugh at any idea of change of any character taking over. I mean, the Legacy is a DC thing, but still, let's be honest. How many times has... We've had Batman twice either be killed or have his back broken where he's passed off the mantle to whether it be Azrael or Dick Grayson.
Or Jim Gordon.
And he'd still come... What?
Or Jim Gordon.
But we all know that Batman's going to come back. And be Bruce Wayne's gonna come back and be Batman.
I really want that. I want one of those to stick one of these years.
But you know what? I don't have a problem with it because, first of all, I think it does build characterization. But it's giving you a chance to realize why you like that character. Like, you're saturated with Bruce Wayne being Batman, so we're giving you time to breathe. And I know I've harped on it too. I've been one of those like, don't change it, because. Personally, I've never been tired of the character, but I do understand ultimately why it happens to where, you know, you're given a chance and they're going to bring the character back and hopefully it will refresh the character as Batman, Bruce Wayne. And they've done this with Captain America. They did it right after the first Civil War, where they shot him in the head and made Bucky Cap. There was a time in the 90s that everybody would like to forget. And it's going to be no different with Falcon. And I like Falcon. But I like Falcon as Falcon. I think Falcon's cool. He doesn't need to be Captain America to be cool. And
if he keeps his current outfit and changes his name to the Eagle, that would be keen.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Because now he's ultra-American. Now he's the Eagle.
But, like, I was watching the Captain America special on ABC, which they aired a couple weeks ago. They did a whole where they, like, look, an hour-long special where they look back at Captain America's origins in the comics and everything. And, like, they did things like they talked about Civil War and everything. And, you know, they brought, and at, towards the end, they brought up the fact that Falcon is the new Captain America. And, like, how this, like, sets precedence for the character. And they had the creator, Black Panther, saying how awesome it was a African-American being Captain America. And I don't have a problem with it, but I just hate sort of the way they're saying it makes it seem as if Falcon doesn't mean anything unless he's now Captain America. Because Captain America has more symbolic power than the Falcon, which I think is...
Yeah, he's Captain America. He is the symbol of America. He is what...
And Falcon can't be? As Falcon?
When people think of America, at least in the Marvel Universe, when people think of America, they're not thinking Falcon. They're thinking Captain America. He is walking patriotism. And as good as Falcon is, as awesome a hero as he is... He is not Captain America. Nobody's Captain America.
Well, I do see your point. But it's just, I worry that it's detrimental to the character. You know, because Falcon was a great character. It's like, the what does it sit there and say? That the only way to make us pay attention to this character is to basically make him this other character or, like, give him the name of another character?
Falcon was a B-lister.
He was still fun, and I still enjoyed him.
But moving on. Moving back to the point I was going to make. So we have Steve Rogers as Captain America.
Yeah.
It says so on the comic cover. Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Yeah.
Heck.
Hey, guys, look! It didn't stick! The black guy's gone!
And we have...
Wow. That was your imitation of all the horrible comic book fans, wasn't it?
Half of them. At least a solid third of them wouldn't have said black guy. And another few would have been stuck at the other comic books looking at the scantily clad women with their hands in their pockets.
Fuck.
I feed on your tears.
I hate you.
But either way, so we've got Steve back. He's young again. He's Captain America. I don't want to think about how they did that too much. It's the outfit.
It'll probably hurt your head.
The outfit's too cool. This outfit is really cool. Like, there's something about that mask, and I don't think it's that different from what he was usually wearing, because I can kind of see the stripes on his midriff. But the way they made his upper torso look, the way his cowl now kind of works around his face, and this new shield, all look great. And it could probably be nothing more than the way the artist is drawing it. This is a great cover. And it's actually making me excited to read Captain America.
It is a nice cover, and it does look interesting. I don't know if I'll be going to Free Comic Book Day this year, just because.
Yeah, I like keeping parts of me attached to me.
Oh, Free Comic Book Day isn't that savage. It's always fun, but I just don't know if I can get to a comic book shop, is what I'm saying.
It also looks like a little solicit for Dead No More. That series nobody is clamoring for.
Yeah, the one that's going to lead into Civil War 2?
Yeah, look, all these guys are, all this guy is coming back to life, and someone else is dying.
Which I think, if I looked at the solutions, I can't remember if it's Iron Man and Captain Marvel, or if it's Captain America and Captain Marvel.
I think it's Tony and Carol.
Yeah.
Have they had sex? I can't remember.
At this point, I don't think... I don't think the people in charge of Marvel will be happy unless Tony has sex with every babe, or so-called babe, of the Marvel Universe, but that's besides the point. And specifically one Joe Quesada.
Yeah.
Anyways, next news article.
Oh, yes, the Superman noise. So, in DC's consistent showing that I don't think they understand Superman. I think he's getting a new power coming up soon. He's becoming Ultraman.
And I prefer Superhuman Samurai.
Wrong Ultraman.
But it comes with Tim Curry.
Yes. But I still meant the wrong Ultra. That's still the wrong Ultraman. I'm talking about Earth 3 Ultraman. The guy powered by kryptonite.
And now has Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's weird. Apparently his cells are mutating. What?
Basically what this is they're trying to update the idea of super hearing. Because apparently being able to hear miles away doesn't mean anything anymore. So now he has to, he can hear Wi-Fi signals.
Or he could just hear signals.
Or whatever, yeah.
Which was that different, which is super different from when he could see the electromagnetic spectrum, which included radio waves.
Yeah, why couldn't they just say it's that power?
No, why couldn't they just have given him the electric blue powers back? That was cool. Remember remember All-Star
Superman?
Because
there's only like five people on Earth that likes electric blue Superman. And two of them are you and Michael Bailey.
Shut your whore mouth. Not even that. All-Star Superman, when he had that hybrid version of the powers, where he could still throw the electricity and stuff like that, but he still had his recognizable superpower set. That was cool. He had new powers, and they didn't involve blowing up and losing his.
But then where would the drama be?
I don't know whether he could stop Lex Luthor from blowing up the planet. Whether he could keep Lois from turning
but
into
that,
the Insect
that would
Queen.
Be rational.
Or, you know, somebody gave Superman a baby. How's he going to get out of this one and still be Clark Kent? What happened to stories like that?
They're not cool enough for this age.
Oh, okay. So this came to me yesterday. And here is a brain flash, a great mental image I want everyone to think of. You can pick your version of Superman, because every version of Superman, including the one we've currently got, this works for. Superman sitting on a stoop, outfit's a bit torn up. He looks tired. A little boy comes up to him. Hey, Superman. Hey. You okay? Yeah, I'll be okay. That bad guy sure was mean. Yeah. You want to cry? A little, but I'll be okay. Oh, okay. You want a juice box? Yeah. And then just the image of Superman sitting next to a small child, and they're both having a juice box.
Because that's rational.
Is that not quintessential? Is that not quintessentially a Superman zine?
It is, but see, you're being rational about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we need Superman to be dark and brooding for the teenagers, because that's what's going to make them buy it.
Yeah, remember Squirrel Girl and how well she's doing? but either way. So, Superman now has weird new superpower. His eyes are green, and he looks evil. This can't be bad at all.
So he's electric green Superman?
He's evil green eyes and shadowy stubble Superman.
Gotcha.
Behold, neckbeard Superman. With the stubbly overgrowth of three comic book stack crawlers. With the combined creepiness of an internet blogger, he is Hipster Superman.
With the combined creepiness of both hosts of the Intergalactic Graphic Review.
No, that's a lie. No one can catch up to my level of creepiness.
Or mine. Because we're creepy. We're very creepy. Stop breathing hard. You're scaring the five listeners away.
Your superpower is heavy breathing.
So, yeah, I guess that brings us to our last segment. You have no more news, right?
No, that was pretty much all I wanted to talk about, was how bad how DC occasionally makes bad decisions. And by occasionally, I mean often. Captain America looks good. Superman might be turning evil.
That actually, you know, honestly, if it's a good storyline, and that's a really, 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 really big if. But, you know, I could see him turning him heel for just a bit for a story.
They've done that story 6 times.
Well, again, it's not about whether they've done it before, it's about the execution. Unfortunately, they have a bad track record with their execution. But let's end the episode on a more happier note. Let's talk about how awesome this summer movie season is going to be. And it starts, as of this recording, next Friday with goddamn Deadpool.
No, stop, stop. You are not Frank Miller. Don't use goddamn.
Okay, fucking Deadpool.
Better.
Because this is the role that Ryan Reynolds was made to play.
It's true. He's touching himself right now.
Have you seen the prostate PDA?
No, I've actually managed to not see a lot of the Deadpool advertisement.
So, it is an advertisement, but they released this Deadpool PDA, where Ryan Reynolds dresses Deadpool, basically is talking about prostate cancer, and about how to check yourself for prostate cancer. So he's going through the steps of how to check yourself for prostate cancer, and it's absolutely hilarious.
Can you check yourself for prostate cancer?
Yes, you can.
Interesting.
He's like, don't fondle it too hard, that's for later.
If he's giving legitimately good advice, I'm actually pleased.
He's giving good advice. As far as I know, he's giving good advice, but he's making it funny, and it's hilarious.
As is Deadpool's way.
And apparently there's a new one out that just came out because China apparently has banned Deadpool. So it's like, it's Deadpool's message to China.
Oh my god. They've really run wild with the advertising and Deadpool's inability to respect the fourth wall.
Have you seen the recent edition of Deadpool on the Marvel on Disc Avengers in Japan?
No.
Oh my god, I saw a clip of it. It was awesome. It's like one of the kids is like, hey, Captain Tony, is this one of your guys? And out pops Deadpool. And then Deadpool breaks the fourth wall to explain to all the kids at home just who Deadpool is.
Is he explaining this while the others are watching him and understanding what he's doing?
They're watching. I don't know if they're understanding.
No, I'm not understanding. Like, who is he talking to? Don't imitate him.
He's like, because they won't know who I am. Like, who's they? The children at home. It's like, why can't we get Disc Avengers over here? Why can't we get this on Hulu or Crunchyroll or good damn you, of all the things not to bring over.
It'll come. It'll have its day. Don't
That's
worry.
What she said.
Okay. Anyway, so we've got Deadpool coming up.
Yes, and it's going to be awesome. In March, we got... and I'm just glad we're going off the top of my head. March, we're going to have Superman versus Batman Dawn of Justice. I'm going to withhold judgment. I'm going to be fair and withhold judgment until I see the movie.
I'm not excited. I keep trying to get excited, and then the people who behind it say something, and my excitement goes away.
Well, the reason it goes away is because they're trying to force you to like it, and it's like they don't allow you to like it organically. Like
at one point, we
overall I did like Man of Steel. The things I like outweighed the things I didn't like.
Yeah, but then we get things like, hey, we've got a trailer, and they told a joke. And they had, like, desperate, like, no, don't worry, guys, it's not actually funny. No, Batman's really going to be serious and angry in this movie. Don't worry. Nobody was worried. We were actually kind of pumped because of that. Oh. Well, don't worry. No, the tone is totally going to be serious and dark.
Okay. I will say this, in finally getting to see Wonder Woman, like, I did have some fears about Wonder Woman, but seeing the trailer dissipated all those fears, and I'm really actually pumped to see how they treat Wonder Woman. I mean, as long as they don't make Wonder Woman and the Amazon some lost kryptonite tribe, like one former screenplay that was out there and the interwebs said they might do, I think I'll be happy with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't. If you're gonna do weird things with Wonder Woman, mix her up with Captain Marvel. Their origins blend surprisingly well.
Then of course the kickoff. Oh wait, one I think we forgot that. I don't know if it's in. No, it is.
No,
that's
no. Keep going. We're on the right track.
We are on the right road. Captain America: Civil War.
I don't know how I feel about this movie.
I can't wait. It's going to be freaking awesome.
Yeah, but I don't like in comic books when superheroes spend more time fighting each other than villains. So I don't know how much I'm going to love it in a movie.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. A lot of people are excited for this for multiple reasons. One of those being the fact that this is supposed to be, I guess, the introduction of Spider-Man into the Marvel-U canon. Now that Marvel finally has their hands back on him. Like they did have long ago.
Hey, guys! We're having a fight here, kid. Yeah, I came to help. Who? I need a minute.
Whoever sent me this text message.
It's me! I'm helping that guy! It's either that or it's like dodgeball. Pick me! Pick me!
Though I wouldn't be surprised if, again, because the whole Superhuman Registration Act that it's... Because obviously that would be the most obvious scene that they'd have him do. Because, again, that's one of the most famous scenes from this storyline is Spider-Man unmasking himself.
Apparently this case is not about the Superhero Registration Act per se. This is actually all of the fallout from Avengers 2 where they picked up a country and dropped it.
Well, they didn't pick up a country. Ultron! Picked up a country.
Who built Ultron?
Okay, but they didn't build Ultron to do that.
Great. It's still whether they built him to do that or not, they're still kind of responsible. And the fact that a superhero fight involved all these people, the political world isn't going to be happy with that.
I understand that, and that's why I'm excited for this movie.
Yes.
Yes.
So it could be answering some interesting questions.
Yeah.
And they can't do it any worse than Marvel Comics did.
I don't know what you're talking about because I like Civil War.
You would.
It's some of the messes that came after it that ruined it.
Oh, you really liked when Reed Richards was suddenly a fascist?
Yes. I like the Civil War storyline.
There was some severe character assassination.
There was, but considering what was going on, which was really different, and the way it was done I felt was really unique, I actually enjoy the Civil War storyline.
I miss Speedball. Like, Speedball as I know him.
Well, after Civil War, we have X-Men Apocalypse.
Yay! 1980s/90s X-Men and Olivia Munn in a small outfit.
Who?
You ever seen Attack of the Show?
Oh, Olivia Munn, yeah.
Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn, yes. As Psylocke.
Yes.
This is going to be awesome.
Yep.
I'm really happy for Jubilee.
I know. We have, well, actually, think about that. We have Jubilation Lee and Olivia, or whoever's playing her, and Olivia Munn.
As Psylocke.
In one X-Men movie, we're getting two vaguely Asian ladies. And Storm. And
New Storm with Mohawk.
With Mohawk. Oh, that's important. With Mohawk.
Yes.
And the Egyptian bad guy, Ivan Ooze.
Apocalypse. I don't have a problem with his costume.
I don't.
Because it can't be any worse than it is in the goddamn comics.
Yeah, but I've seen Apocalypse cosplay, and it's pretty epic. That's neither here nor there, though. Moving onwards and upwards. This is a really, really interestingly inclusive movie. And I know the X-Men was all about civil rights. And that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all I really wanted to say about that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm actually getting more and more excited to see it. Then, we have actually a movie I cannot wait for. I can't believe I'm saying this. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
I didn't watch the first.
It isn't as bad as people make it out to be.
It may not be. I just don't want to give Michael Bay money. Or Megan Fox.
Megan Fox isn't bad in it. She's actually pretty decent as April O'Neil.
Okay, I think you're missing the point. It's not that I don't like her acting, even though I don't. I find her and Michael Bay to be despicable human beings.
Yeah. Watch the Nostalgia Critic and the Angry Video Game Nerd review of it, at least.
Sure.
That being said, they have goddamn Bebop and Rocksteady in it, and it goddamn looks like Bebop and Rocksteady from the 1980s. They went full 1980s cartoon with this movie.
Okay.
It is awesome on so many levels. I mean, you've got, I can't remember his name, but you got the Arrow as Casey Jones.
Stephen Amell.
Who, not only is he awesome as a DC Archer character, he's awesome as a goalie mask-wearing vigilante, not to mention he's also great in a WWE ring.
You are really a gigantic nerd.
I am, yeah. Okay, have you not seen Stephen Amell's match where he teamed with Neville, the man that gravity forgot, versus Stardust and Bad News Barrett at SummerSlam? This year?
I don't watch wrestling.
Go on YouTube and type that up and
no.
Watch. Stephen Amell does a flying plancha from the top rope, not to the ring, but outside the ring, from the top rope where he leaps and falls literally probably like 10 feet onto guys. It's awesome.
Sure.
By the way, for those who know, a flying plancha is a flying crossbody press for those wrestling fans. But yeah, Teenage Mutant Turtles 2, I love it. By the way, it also has another WWE reference because the guy who's playing Rocksteady is Sheamus, who's a WWE wrestler.
Oh, interesting note if you actually care about wrestling. Apparently John Cena is the voice of the Hulk in Avengers Academy, the mobile game.
Yes, I read that today. It's a mobile game, and he's going to be the voice of the Hulk.
I'm Dr. Bruce Banner, or at least that's what I think they think I am, but I'm really John Cena!
Da-da-da-da!
If they don't do that joke once, I'm disappointed in this game. Because honestly, it's an awful meme that needs to go away. But it's appropriate at this point.
My personal favorite of it is the Cell, Goku Cell game, where it's like, my replacement is, it's John Cena. No, actually what I hope ultimately does is there's been some talk of maybe having John Cena be Shazam.
Captain Marvel, or?
Yeah, Captain Marvel from DC. Because there's supposedly a Shazam movie in the works.
Well, they got the...
And they've already announced that...
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be Black Adam. It'll be John Cena versus The Rock 3. I can only hope.
Okay, I'll buy John Cena as Captain Marvel if he really plays up the cheese.
Oh, John Cena. Have you not watched John Cena and some of his promos? He can play up the cheese.
No, like the Captain Marvel, like, ha-ha, hey. You know how he made
fun of Booster Gold? Yes, he can do that. Yeah. There was a moment where during the feud with The Rock, Rock, like, talks to him, about his shirts, like he's on, like, a big box of Fruity Pebbles. At the next pay-per-view to counter that, they do a segment where they go to talk to John Cena, and he's sitting there eating a bowl of Fruity Pebbles. And because of that, he actually got his face put on Fruity Pebbles.
Okay.
I think the last movie we can talk about is actually a movie that won't... I don't know yet if it'll ever come out in America. I'm personally excited for it. I'm talking about Toho's relaunch of Godzilla called Godzilla Resurgence.
So we're just going to ignore Suicide Squad, Gambit, and Doctor Strange?
Oh, I forgot about that. Now, isn't Doctor Strange supposed to come out in the winter?
That would be November. Well, winter November. Movie season.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when is Gambit coming out?
The release date they currently have for that is October 7th. I really
hope... Yeah, that's after summer.
I really
hope
it's
straight
to video.
I forgot Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's the movie... It's the DC movie people are actually interested in.
Yes, I will admit to that.
He shoots people. He eats people. He's gross.
And everybody loves her.
She's possessed by the devil, and she's just crazy.
Yeah. And I'm actually... Oh, God, what's his name again? Who's playing the Joker? Help me.
Jared Leto.
I'm actually somewhat starting to dig his look as the Joker. I mean, once you take away all the tattoos...
As long as he keeps his shirt on or whatever they got going on there, I'll pay attention. But he doesn't need to look like he took a Sharpie to himself.
Agreed. But yeah, I am excited for Suicide Squad. And like I said, Godzilla Resurgence. Have you seen the images of the new Godzilla?
No.
Oh my God, the nuclear scars that are all over his chest.
Nuclear!
Yes. You have a problem with that?
There's no you in nuclear.
Okay.
There's one you in nuclear, but you know what I mean.
Nuclear, yes. Nuclear scars that are across his chest, like, and just the way his arms look, is like, it's just scary and menacing, and like, the way his mouth line goes, like, almost all the way to the back of his head. And it's like, just, oh my God, it's a gruesome design. The guy who's directing it is Aoki, who directed Evangelion.
My face is twitching. Why is my face twitching?
Is this a bad twitch or a good twitch?
I don't know. You said Evangelion.
And the special effects is supposed to combine CG with monster suit acting.
He looks like a nightmare animatronic.
Oh, you're looking at the image now?
Yeah, he looks like he belongs in a Five Nights at Freddy's game.
The more I look at it, the more it grows on me.
You're right. He looks like he belongs in a Five Nights at Freddy's game. He looks like something out of your nightmares.
And the thing is that they're like saying, like, this is supposed to be, like, he is supposed to be a villain. This is not a good Godzilla is going to save us.
When was the last time a Godzilla was going to save us happened?
Well, if you watch the 2014 Godzilla movie from America.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Which, by the way, is a good Godzilla, and it was good enough that it has a sequel coming.
Yeah.
Because we're going to get Godzilla, Rodan, Mothra, and King Ghidorah.
Yeah, he looks really messed up. What happened to you, Zilla?
Apparently he got fucked up by nuclear bombs, that's what.
Doesn't he feed on that?
In some incarnations of Godzilla, yes. Not all incarnations have had him feed on nuclear power. I believe it was the,
So now he's just, like, he's just burnt up and in pain all the time and burned?
Yeah. Well, like, for instance, in certain incarnations of the Millennium series he fed off, he could feed off in the Heisei series, but when he fed off it too much, he went, into meltdown and died, which happened in the last movie, which is Godzilla vs. Destoya.
Godzilla comes back to life more than a comic book villain.
Hey, well, this is the first Toho Godzilla since 2004's Godzilla Final Wars.
Shin Godzilla vs. Dragon Zord. Fight.
So I think that's it for the movie season. Overall, I'm very excited. Are you very excited?
I am mildly excited.
And with that, I think it's time for us to go. We've been smarky and snarky enough.
What the hell is smarky?
Something we are.
Mm. Well, it's been real, losers. We'll be seeing you.
Yes. Remember, if you have any comments, remember you can leave them at the website at www.an.132productions.com. There, make sure you check out all our other content, which of course includes Tom's Raw Gibbs, CMG's Wrestling Reviews, among other things. Also, make sure you check out Shin Tiger Curl and his videos, John Ramos and his videos. And, of course, make sure you go to the sidebar where you can check out all our friends, which includes Michael Bailey.
Scott Gardner. There, we've done it.
We've mentioned their names 3 times. They have to listen to this episode, right?
That's usually how it works. Or we've summoned them, like Beetlejuice. It can go either way, really.
That's a very scary thought.
Michael Bailey just appearing in my house.
Get out! This evening.
I don't like the things you say about Superman.
I think it'd be more scary, Scott Gardner appearing in my room like, what the fuck is this? I'm scared now.
I watch you sleep.
Okay, I was trying to be funny, and then you just made it creepy.
That's how we do this.
Apparently. So, thank you, my intergalactic travelers, for hopefully being entertained on another episode. Until next time, stay gold.
And remember, go fuck yourself, San Diego. I mean, stay classy.
Wait a minute. Groovy, groovy, jazzy, funky, pounce, bounce, dance as we dip in the melodic sea. Rhythm keeps flowing and drips to MC. Sweet sugar pop, rocks and pop. You don't stop till the sweet beat drops. I shall improve as I stick and move. Vivid poems recited on top of the groove. Smooth, my, floating like a butterfly. New set of float, sung like a lullaby. Brace yourself as the beat hits ya. Dip, trip, flip, fantasia. And hip hop dripping in your dome, it's its own and bop. Funk infusion, a fly illusion keeps you coasting on the rhythm you're cruising up, down, round.